Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Alhamdulillah, there are many benefits and excellences of reciting salawat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we hear many narrations, but subhanallah, today, inshallah, azawajal, one report that I will share with you, subhanallah, is just amazing. Subhanallah, look at the power and the greatness of Durood-e-Pak. Our beloved master, the last and final prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has declared, man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marra, lam yamut hatta yara maq'adahu min al-jannah. Subhanallah, our beloved master, Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, whoever sends Durood upon me 1,000 times a day, whoever sends durood upon me 1,000 times a day shall not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah, in the dunya, before he passes away, he will be blessed to see his own place of Jannah. Subhanallah, this is the excellence and power of Durood-e-Pak. Please take a moment and try your best to recite Durood-e-Pak every day. For subhanallah, you can recite 10 times, you can recite 100 times, 500 times. But look at the narration that we've just heard. Let's try to act upon this as well. Let's try to recite 1,000 times a day. How long will it take us? Only few moments of our life on a daily basis. Let's allocate some time in the daily slot for Durood-e-Pak. If it's early morning, if it's in the evening, if it's during the day, whatever time suits you, allocate a slot in your daily routine for Durood-e-Pak, for the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, wow, look at the blessing that you could gain. Reading 1,000 times Durood-e-Pak can give you the opportunity to see your own place in Jannah. Subhanallah, if someone was blessed to see his own place in Jannah, what does that mean? That inshallah, he will also go to Jannah as well. Inshallah, this is the power of Durood-e-Pak. Let's leave everything to one side with love and affection. Let us all recite Durood-e-Pak. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The last and final prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, afdalul amal an-niyyatu sadiqah. A truthful intention is the best action. Therefore, my dear brothers, wherever you are, whichever country you live in and you're watching this program, please reflect upon your intentions. Whenever you have an opportunity to perform a righteous act, a permissible act, you should pause and reflect upon the purpose. Why are you doing this? What intentions could we make? Number one, you can make this intention that I will, inshallah, listen to the speech to further increase my knowledge of Islam. Inshallah, I will try to sit and listen to the speech all the way till the end so that I can get the whole message of the topic, of the bayan that will be discussed today, inshallah. I will also, whatever I learn, I will try to implement and I will also pass it on to others as well, inshallah. And those who are here, you can also make the intention that we are sitting here in this beautiful gathering to gain barakah, to gain blessings of being in a good company. Alhamdulillah, you're here. Alhamdulillah, beautiful environment at Fizan-e-Madina, an education center, Oldham. And please make intention that you will remain here till the end. Whilst we'll have the opportunity to do the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, we will also have chance to make dua. Dua for ourselves, dua for our loved ones, those who are passed away with iman, inshallah, we'll be doing dua for them. Those who are unwell, inshallah, we'll be making dua for them as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, the glorious Quran has 114 chapters. How many surah are there in the Quran? 114. In the 30th part of the Quran, there is one surah known as Suratul Buruj. Suratul Buruj, which is chapter number 85. This surah, Suratul Buruj, contains only one ruku and 22 verses. Suratul Buruj. The word Buruj itself refers to constellations, a certain forming or a group of stars. The first verses refer to the sky, which contains constellations. For this reason, this chapter, this surah is known as Suratul Buruj. Subhanallah. In this surah, especially the start of this chapter, in the start of this surah, Allah Almighty makes a mention of a hugely significant event, a true story that took place in the history. Inshallah, first of all, before I go into the story and the lessons from this incident, from this account, let me share with you the verses of the Quran of this chapter, Suratul Buruj, from the first verse to the eighth verse. Let's recite these verses. Let's listen to these verses with love and affection, and let's listen to the translation. Then inshallah we'll continue our discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Was-samaa'i dhatil buruj.
By the sky possessing constellations.
Wal yawmil maw'ud.
And the promised day.
وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ.
And by the witness day, and by the day people attend.
قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ.
Woe to the people of the ditch.
النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ.
Of the blazing fire.
إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ.
When they were sitting around it.
وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ.
And they themselves are witnesses to what they were doing to the believers.
وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ.
And they were only averse to this, that they Muslims embraced faith in Allah, the most exalted, the most praiseworthy.
صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمِ.
My dear brothers and the youngsters, these were the first eight verses of Suratul Buruj, which is chapter number 85 in the last part, in the 30th para of the glorious Quran. These verses speak about the people of the ditch, the people of the trench. The question is, who were these people? What is their story? The detail of this account can be found in one of the famous books of hadith known as Sahih Muslim Sharif. This actual narration is very lengthy. However, just to give you some part of this narration, which is linked to our topic today, but those who wish to study this account, the whole incident in detail, I would like to recommend you to study these verses under the tafsir Siratul Jinan. Inshallah, there's a very lengthy, long discussion with regards to the people of the ditch. However, just to give you a summary, in the previous nations lived a king. But this king, he claimed to be a god. He didn't want anyone else to have any other faith or to believe in the true God. He was referring himself as the God, and he wanted everyone to obey him, to be obedient to him, to worship him. And because he was the king, he had authority, people were scared of him, people began worshipping him. However, when Allah Almighty opens the doors of guidance for a nation, subhanallah, and then people are shown the light. So these people, the nation who used to worship this king, they were destined to be guided. This guidance, how did they start? This guidance began to them when Allah Almighty allowed a young man from that nation to sit with a believing and a righteous man. So this young man, he recited the kalima and entered the true religion. He realized, he became aware that other people who are worshipping that king, they're wrong. And there is only one creator, one Rabb, and that is Allah Almighty. So this young man became the reason of the guidance of this nation. So what happens? This young man, because he remained in the company of this religious personality, Allah Almighty blessed him a very high rank. Although he was young in age, but in piety, he became a wali of Allah. Someone who was very close in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And subhanallah, this young man, saintly miracles began to take place in his hands. He would perform karamat. He would do things which are beyond our understanding. And subhanallah, because he was close in the court of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala loved him. He had power in his dua. He had power in his supplications, in his duas. By the blessings of his dua, the blind who were blind by birth, they would get cured. Someone who's totally blind, someone who cannot see, they are blind from birth. By the blessing of this young man's dua, they used to get cured. Those who had other form of diseases of the time, other illnesses, they would come to him and he would cure them. He would make dua for them and they would get cured. And this was by the virtue and blessings of being in a good company. So now, as this young man is gaining some fame and people are becoming aware of him and people are turning towards him, this news of the young man reached the king. The king who only had one goal, who wanted everyone to worship him. He was calling himself God. He wanted people to believe in him and worship him. The false claim of the king to divinity and his entire authority was at risk. So what's going on here? I had everyone, you know, in my locks. They were following me. I was ruling over them. But now, slowly, someone just turned up and people are attracted towards him. Now he thought, I have to do something. My authority, my power is in danger. He thought, if the blind continued to be cured through the dua of this young man, the whole concept of my godhood would finish. No one would worship me. No one would follow me. So now he thought, there's only one option now. There's only one option, and that is to get rid of this young man. Somehow, I need to wipe him off. And he thought it's a noble thing as a king, especially if you look at years, thousands and thousands of years ago. It was a noble thing. Someone you didn't like, No, you'll just do all sort of things to them. You'll finish them off. But Allahu Akbar, when Allah Almighty wants to save someone, when Allah Almighty protects someone, then remember one thing. No one can harm that person. No one can touch that person. Because he is that person is in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So now this king, he got hold of this young man and made him come to his court. And he said to him that, what are you doing? You're taking people away from me. I want you to leave your religion and worship me. Believe me as God. And the young man, who was a firm believer, he had the strength of Iman. He had the power of faith. He said, whatever you do, I will not leave Islam. I will never leave my religion. I will still believe in Allah. Subhanallah. The king said, if that's the case, then be ready to die. You are now going to be wiped off. The king made several attempts to murder him, to kill him. He told his army to capture him and take him on top of a mountain. At the top of a mountain, say to him, leave your religion and believe the king as God. And if he listens, bring him back. And if he doesn't, then just throw him off. Throw him off the mountain. Allahu Akbar. This attempt of the king didn't work. Because that person, that young man, at that time of difficulty, he made dua in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, whichever way you wish, Ya Allah, please save me from this calamity. And Allah Almighty caused a disaster, an earthquake struck, and all them people died. And this young man, he came safely back from the mountain, and he went all the way towards the king. And he stood in front of him. And the king was shocked. I've just sent him to be killed. What is he doing here? He's come safe. He asked him, where's the rest of the people? And he said, the rest of people have died. And Allah Almighty saved me. My Rabb has saved me. And the king was angry. Now he told another group of his army and told him, take him on a boat and take him further in the sea, in the middle of the sea. And then throw him there in the middle of the sea. And when his people took him to the middle of the sea, this young man made dua. Ya Allah, whichever way you wish, save me. Save me from this calamity. Allahu Akbar. At that time, the boat flipped. All those people who were there, the people of that king, all got drowned. And this young man was the only person who was protected, who was safe. He remained unharmed. And then he sailed back and went to the king and said to him, I'm here. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So the king attempted to get rid of him several times. But every time, one thing happened. One thing happened, and that was the king failed. King failed miserably. In the end, the saint, this young man, this wali of Allah, he said to the king, there's only one way to get rid of me. If you want to kill me, there's one way. He said to him, if you wish to martyr me, then there is a way. Gather people in an open field. Invite the community. Get everyone together. Gather loads of people in the open plain land. And then tie me to a date palm tree. Tie me down. And then say, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. Say these words. Then fire an arrow at me. This is the only way you'll be able to martyr me. And when he heard this, the king was overjoyed. He thought, you know what? This actually looks true. This is something they have to do. So he thought, okay, this, let me give this a try as well. So he gathered the community. Loads and loads of people gathered in the open plain of land. And then, according to the narration, it says the king placed the arrow himself and he pulled it back and said, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. Saying this, he fired the arrow which struck the saint, the young man, in his head. And he martyred. And he passed away. Allahu Akbar. When the people who were there, who were present, who were observing this, they were witnessing this, all those people who were looking at this, experiencing this live in front of their eyes, they realized the king who claimed to be God had failed all his attempts. And it was the name of the young man's Rabb, which is Allah, which helped in the end. They understood this. They were guided. They got the message. They realized the king is not the God. The king is nothing. And only Allah is the God. Allah is the Rabb. Subhanallah. They realized the true God is Allah, the Lord of the young man. And all of them people, a huge gathering, all of them, they recited the kalima and entered the true religion. They became Muslims. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, Allahu Akbar. The king wanted something else. The king wanted power. King wanted authority. He wanted people to worship him. But now, things have turned. By witnessing this incident, because he had to say these words, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Rabb of this young man. Allahu Akbar. When he heard this, all those people, thousands of, possibly thousands and thousands of people who embraced Islam, the king now was extremely angry. Now he thought, my false claim of divinity has been exposed. Everyone's aware now that I'm not God. And now he thought, I have to do something. And though now, because he was so furious, he was so angry, then he decided, he ordered his people, he ordered his army to dig trenches, ditches on the edges of pathways, huge ditches. And after he dug all them trenches, he ordered the fire to be lit in them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When that whole place full of fire, hot blazing fire, this anger, this wrath of king did not stop there. After blazing this hot fire in the ditches, he ordered his people, he ordered his army, all those people who believe in one Rabb, all of them people, take him to the edges, show him the fire. And if they don't turn away from their faith, if they don't leave their religion, then throw them in the fire. Now this was a big test. Big test for the Muslim community of the time. This was the big test of the believers of the time. Oh, blazing fire. There's no way out. There's no way out. One side, the army of the king. The other side was the fire. They took him. They took all the people to the edges. And then whoever was firm on their faith, whoever didn't turn away from their religion, whoever was a Muslim, who remained a Muslim, one by one, they were thrown into the fire. The believers, the mu'mineen, were thrown into the fire, one by one. So many of them. So many of them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And then, you remember in the community, there were adults, there were elderly people, there were young men, there were women, and there was one young woman with a baby. She was firm in her faith. However, when she got closer to the fire, when she was about to be thrown into the fire, she looked at the baby. And now, because she's a mother, for a moment, she paused For a moment she paused. She looked at the baby and she paused. However, her own iman was strong. She had the faith. She had the strength. But because she was a mother as well, she paused for a moment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And as she looked at the child, she looked at the baby, she was panicking. The baby, subhanallah, amazingly spoke up. The child started talking and said, "Oh mother, be patient. Have sabr. Don't worry. You are on the truth. You are on the right path. Your religion is the truth. Don't worry. You don't have anything to worry." Allahu Akbar. This baby, a child of the age who doesn't normally talk. That baby spoke by the power of Allah Ta'ala, by the qudra of Allah Ta'ala. And this child spoke and gave comfort to the mother. And then, Allahu Akbar, the mother and the baby were also both thrown into the fire, into that trench. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, the oppressive actions of the king, this ruthless, this oppression of the king earned him the wrath of Allah. The torment of Allah was to come to him now. And this fire that was burnt, that he lit this fire for the believers, this fire now, because it was hot and blazing, the flames were coming out. The flames left the ditches and they came out and they burned the army of the king. Allahu Akbar. And this fire burnt all the oppressors. Burned them all away. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, youngsters and the viewers of Madani channel, we have just heard a true story from the glorious Quran, which is in Suratul Buruj, chapter 85 of the Quran. This story has a very deep discussion, which you can find in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. Those who want to read further and more detail, more background on what happened next, you will find that in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. But now let's try to take some lessons from this account. My dear brothers, there are a few lessons we learn from this account, from this real story, the real incident that took place. The people of the ditches. And they were cursed. The people of the ditches, those people who dug the ditches, those people who dug the trenches and threw the believers inside, they were burnt themselves. And Allahu Akbar. Some of the lessons we learn. This account teaches us that Allah Almighty tests the believers. Successful Muslim is the one who remains steadfast in these trials with patience and gratitude. He does sabr and he does shukr. Allahu Akbar. This is a big lesson. Because nowadays, we hear many Muslims, they say that we believe in Allah. We believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in the Quran. We worship Allah Ta'ala. We do all the good things. But then why do we have problems? Why do the problems come to us? Why do we have to face these trials, these difficulties? My dear brothers, remember, even those who are in poverty, even those who are going through difficulty, they say that how come when we look around us, the Muslims are in poverty and in hardship, why is the disbelievers, those who don't have faith in Allah, they enjoy every luxury. They taste the good quality of life. The question is, why? We believe in Allah. We believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow the Quran. We read namaz. We worship Allah Ta'ala. We are on the haq. Then why are Muslims in poverty? Why are Muslims in difficulty? And the disbelievers, on the apparent, they are in happiness, they are at peace, they are enjoying their lives, they are progressing in life. Why? The question is why? And the answer is in Islam. The answer is, in this hadith Pak, it is reported that our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." The world is a prison for the believer and a paradise and a jannah for the disbeliever. Now think, what happens in a prison? They have all the luxuries. They have all the buzz, all the fun. No. In the prisons, they have all, the prisons are places of difficulty, troubles, worries, hardships, and all sort of problems. Mental issues. Torture. And as Muslims, this means the same things will certainly come to us in this world. So if this happens in a prison, and the dunya is a prison for a believer, what does that mean? Difficulty will come to us. Troubles will come to us. Worries will come to us. Hardships will run to us. They will come. Because the world is made a prison for the believer. Our Rabb Allah Ta'ala proclaims in the glorious Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they will be left as they say, we believe. As they say, we believe. And they will not be tested. In Tafsir Suratul Jinan it says, we learn Allah shall test believers as per their strength of faith. Illness, poverty, problems, these are tests from Him which differentiate, will distinct between the sincere and the hypocrite. My dear brothers, one of the honorable Sahabi, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest rewards come with the greatest trials. When Allah loves people, He tests them. Whoever accepts that earns His pleasure. Whoever is discontent earns that. So a person, the more he is closer to Allah Ta'ala, the more he is in the closeness, proximity in the court of Allah Ta'ala, that person will have more trials, will have more troubles, will have tests. So these things will happen. And from the dunya, from the world around us and the past, if you look at the world, if you look at the history of humanity, who are those people who are the most close ones in the court of Allah? Those who have high rank in the court of Allah. Amongst the humans, who are they? They are the prophets of Allah. They are the messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam. And it is the messengers, it is the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, alayhim salam, who were tested the most, who went through the most difficulty. So if Anbiya-i Kiram, alayhim salam, have gone through trials and difficulty and tests, then who are we? Where do we stand? Therefore, as a Muslim, it is important to keep in mind that tests will come to us because we are Muslims. We are Muslims, trials, tests, difficulties will come to us. But we must remain firm, we must remain strong, and be firm on faith. Be steadfast upon Islam. Things will come. There are youngsters here in Fizan-e Madina and Education Center. Those who are watching this, trials will come to you. You will have problems, all sort of things. Thunderstorms will come towards you. But remember, you must remain firm on Islam. Be strong in faith. Never leave the boundaries of Sharia. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to understand the greatness and importance of being firm upon Islam. Just one final thing. Remember that trials are also a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Trials, difficulties, when you are inflicted with difficulty, with a problem, remember this is also a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to truly understand the greatness and the significance of sabr and patience upon iman. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say.